the Japanese.
Oh, well, we've touched on Horowitz. We've touched on Rubinstein. We've touched on Clyburn.
Now talk about Glenn Gould.
I would like to talk about Glenn Gould because one of the things I've always enjoyed when I introduce his music on the air is mentioning the fact that not only do we get Glenn Gould the pianist, we get Glenn Gould the singer who is accompanying himself on piano. But he had he must have had idiosyncrasies that were like all the others combined.
That's right. That's right. Oh, well, he was a genius, in my estimation.
Which is right on the edge of madness in the minds of many.
Exactly.
Yes.
I always say this, you know, he could have been a writer, a filmmaker, that guy. He was tremendous. Many nights I spent with him. He was a loner. He didn't have many friends. But it was funny when he knew that I would come to Toronto with another artist, with Rudolf Serkin or Rubinstein or have you, or Horowitz too, you know. He knew that I would come. He would call me. He would pick me up at the airport. He himself would not come to any concert. But he made sure that I would spend the evening and the night and we had dinner together with him, you know.
But he didn't go to the concert, huh?
He would come to the concert. Oh, no, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Anyhow, and so he is actually the first one I tuned for when I came to this country. You know, I became the assistant to Bill Hupfer, who was the chief concert technician all his life, you know, at Steinway. And, you know, when Bill retired a couple of years later, I became the chief concert technician then. But I became his assistant. And Bill was doing with Glenn Gould at the famous 30th Street Columbia Record Studio. They were doing recordings, you know, and Bill was the tuner. And Bill had come into the studio and rushed to Glenn Gould and put his hand on his shoulder. Glenn, how are you today? And you know what? The shoulder was dislocated. And he sued Steinway at that time, I believe for $350,000 or whatever. I couldn't believe it. Henry Steinway gave me the paper clip from the newspaper, you know. I remember that. And so Bill could not tune for him. He had to cancel concerts. And only extreme heat helped him, you know. So Bill could not tune for him anymore. So you can imagine, I had to take over. I just was a few days in America. And Steinway said, can you imagine how many times Steinway told me, Franz, just tune the piano. Don't touch him, you know. which I didn't, you know.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, he would soak his hands into hot water, as hot as he can stand it. And then he would put his gloves on. And he came into the studio with his hands up in the air. And then the gloves would come off, you know. And then he would play.
I'm trying to picture this.
I
thought he had some strange things that I did. I feel pretty darn normal right now.
But he was fun to work with. You know, his cheer, and not only his humming along, many takes we could not take because we were singing along, you know. Mm-hmm. And but his cheer, which made so much noise. You know, there was a chair. It was a folding chair. He himself would always carry it. I asked him, he said, Glenn, let me, no, he would carry his chair alone by himself, you know. But then he had a garbage bag, but mind you, he took a fresh one every day. And in this garbage bag, there were all kind of things, a shirt to change, dry clothes. He had his music in there. He had three blocks of wood in there, because the piano had to be lifted on those pieces of wood, which were about 3 inches high, you know. And then he was sitting on the floor. And in the studio, when we were in the studio, we couldn't see him. We only heard the piano.
Until you heard something coming out of it, you didn't know if he was there or not. Right.
But this folding chair, you know, where the legs were held together by wire, okay, because it was completely out of glue. And then out of his garbage bag came a seat, you know, which had seen better days, you know, plywood seat, you know, which was worn. And a piece of upholstery came out there, which also had seen better days, you know, was hardly anything left, and that would go on the top of the chair, you know, and then he would play. And since that chair was so out of glue, he loved it, that was swinging, but making so much noise. I tried everything, boys, with a W-40 and what have you, you know. Get rid
of that. You should have introduced him to Van Cliburn. He could have loaned him a suitcase or something.
That's right.
He could have sat on the suitcase and carried his stuff in.
No, there was always in the garbage bags that stuff.
Makes me think of Abadajan Pratt, who also travels with a little better piece of, you know, better stool, but he always brings his own because he sits very low.
True.
And he plays like he's so strong, though.
His hands was in a ski board in the height of the ice about, you know, where he played. And then he loved the music. I mean, he went into his music so much, he can't help it, to hum along, you know. And I never forget when somebody's idea to bring Glenn Gould together with Elisabeth Schwarzkopf, the German singer, famous German singer, to do Schönberg Lieder. This record never came out. he is Glenn at the piano, you know, talking a few minutes to her, you know, and then tells her how to sing, you know. when he had a hand free, he was conducting. Can you imagine?
Elizabeth didn't take kindly to that, you're saying.
No, she didn't say a word. That went on for a few minutes, you know, maybe not even 10 minutes. She turned around, came into the studio, took her coat, didn't say a word. There was a driver was there, you know, and they were gone. So, and you never, if you look for the CD of that recording, you can't find it.
A 10-minute recording with a door slamming at the end.
All those characters, you know.
What is, if it's possible to pick one, that may be another hour conversation, what is the strangest thing that ever happened with you with one of these artists? I mean, if there is any one.
Well, things do happen, you know, and strange things do happen, and I hate it. I am nervous. Although I have prepared the piano, did everything I can think of, you know. I'm nervous at least for a few bars. If everything works and it's fine, then it's fine, you know. But things happen, and sometimes you have to educate your people. So maybe a strange thing was this. Well, not so strange if I tell you the story. Horowitz had a tremendous wide range, from a super pianissimo to a fantastic fortissimo, like no other artist, you know, had. And only the Steinway can give this to you, and there are reasons for, well, Steinway has this tremendous wide range. But he was driving me crazy with his left pedal. I don't have enough left pedal, you know, he doesn't see much difference, you know, between normal and the left pedal. So when you engage the left pedal, instead of the three strings, only two are engaged. So you have left sound. That is the way it works. But he was driving me. I have no left pedal, Franz. I have no left. We are in Moscow. No left pedal. He said, "Meister, look at this. There's a pedal, you know." We are in Leningrad. No left pedal. We are in Berlin. For two concerts, no left pedal. He drove me nuts. He said, "Maestro, let me explain it to you. I cannot go further, you know, with the action shifting. Then it hits the next note, right? That's not too good." Well, anyhow, I already filed the left very corner of each hammer a little bit to make absolutely sure that I have only two strings engaged, okay, with the left pedal. He drove me nuts with the left pedal. So what did I do in Hamburg? The next concert is in Hamburg, Tonhalle. And I went and I did something. I have to ask the good Lord to forgive me. But you have to understand that he absolutely drove me crazy. I took the C, the double, the second above middle C. Mm-hmm. And I just took the hammer and screwed it over a little bit to the right, you know. Mm-hmm. And he played those beautiful pieces by Franz Liszt, you know, the Consolation. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And there's one phrase in one of the pieces where it phrasing starts with the C, you know. And, of course, you heard the C sharp, too, you know. Boy, that was something. Well, Günter Breste, who traveled with us, he was the president of Deutsche Grammophon for years. Traveled with us. He traveled with us with Gelels too. Nice guy. He said, Franz, did you hear this? Did you hear this? What did you do? He said, I wanted to help him. I'm sorry. I know it is dangerous, you know. But no left bell. So Horowitz comes off the stage. You went too far? You went too far? You know, he told me. He said, Maestro, I'm so sorry. I mean, I wanted to help you. I know it was maybe dangerous, you know. But it was good that I did it, because since that time, we never talked about the left pedal.
No more left pedal problems.
He was okay.
Oh, my.